think less is more. I don't think we need to go for 40 minutes. I think we can make this short and sweet.
We say that, but inevitably end up with quality content.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to From the Dome to Your Home podcast with my special guest this week, Scott Slatt.
Phlegm button is what I need, right?
Yeah, you do. You're clearing your throat a lot. I don't want to say it's getting on everybody's nerves, but...
Listener, do you notice that?
It's getting on everybody's nerves, especially Mr. Producer.
I'm just now 100% back from the walking pneumonia.
Listen, I know.
And I got lots of water here.
And we're glad that you are drinking a lot of water, and we are glad that you are healed from that little skirmish with pneumonia.
I'll take COVID over that any day.
Really?
Yes.
COVID was...
much less severe than the two times that I've had it. It's much less severe than that walking pneumonia. Not nearly as long lasting either. I mean, it took me 3 weeks to get over that walking pneumonia.
Yeah, it did.
The COVID, I was over in, you know, 3 days, 4 days.
Now
Speaking of throat clearing.
Now I'm having to clear my throat. It's
Let me clear my throat.
It's contagious. It is contagious.
For all you Beastie Boys fans out there.
It is Thursday afternoon. We are recording. The House has adjourned for the week, leaving them 3 days left in the legislative session. The Senate is still in session. They are debating very lengthy debate on a bill that would prohibit children 18 and under from receiving gender change surgery.
It's an anti-transgender
gender affirming care. Yes, it is. Yeah. It also includes language in there that requires the public school to disclose to parents if their child has asked to be called by a different name,
including presumably a nickname.
Right. Right.
Senator Mike Fanning from Fairfield County, Winnsboro, yesterday posed this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Deuce Staley, the
Correct.
Famous
yeah.
former football player at Carolina.
Right.
Always known as Deuce. I don't even know what Deuce's real name is.
I don't know his real name.
He went by Deuce Staley even when he was playing in the NFL. It's a nickname. And the question was posed by Senator Fanning, if a kid wants to be called by a nickname, then as an educator in the building then has to notify the parents in writing of this request and you know, go from there. And of course, the whole idea is behind that idea is behind that part of the bill is that if a boy wanted to be
right.
called by a girl's name,
right.
Casey,
right.
Casey boy or girl.
Exactly.
And that was not their given name.
Mm-hmm.
Then this bill would require the teacher or whomever else at school notices this or hears this to immediately contact the parents and tell the parents that this is going on.
And the argument from Senator Fanning and other senators too is that this is not required of private schools.
No.
Even though they are eligible to receive public funds.
Yeah, they get vouchers.
Right.
Yes.
So that was really, that's what a lot of people are talking about. There's a lot of very rich debate over this bill. How long are they going to go today? They have not tried for cloture as of yet. Cloture is limiting debate, voting to basically stop debate, and you give a specific amount of time to each side. It cuts off amendments, and it kind of forces the vote.
How many pages long is the Senate calendar right now?
I don't know, 50-something. I mean, it's long. Like, literally, I think it is. 50-something pages.
And there's lots of important public policy matters by way of bills that are on the Senate calendar.
Well, that depends on who you talk to.
We're now on day two of fighting over transgenderism?
It depends on who you talk to on what good public policy is on the calendar. You know, there's an energy bill and some people really want that bill to pass and some people don't.
Yes.
There are a lot of other bills on the calendar that some people really want to pass and others don't.
True. Maybe even us.
It's become a little bit of, and this is very common, of House v. Senate. You're not passing my bills. I'm not passing your bills.
Yeah.
There's certain things that they're holding over each other's head. There is still that huge energy bill out there. There's still the judicial reform bill out there.
That dynamic.
There are plenty of bills out there that are robust that would.
Senate v. House, that dynamic played out yesterday afternoon in the House.
Uh-huh.
On a suicide prevention bill that's a Senate bill that was amended in full House LCI with the energy bill, with right. 5118,
that's
the
correct.
10-year energy transformation
because
Act.
5118 is sitting on the Senate contested calendar because it has an objection on it.
Two objections.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so that caused a long, lengthy debate yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and Representative Gilda Cobb-Hunter, especially from Orangeburg, got up and scolded her colleagues and told them that they should be ashamed of themselves for holding up this bill, the suicide prevention bill, with this energy bill over this Senate v. House fight.
Right.
That didn't compel anybody to vote against the amendment, which was, you know, the energy bill being on it.
Right.
So it's gone. It's back over to the Senate.
How many bills did they put that energy bill onto? Three or
a
four?
Bunch.
Yeah, they have attached that to
all of the bills that came out of full LCI last week and were on the calendar, House calendar this mm-hmm. week, all had that amendment.
All have
on
it on
yes.
there. So that there are a lot of dynamics. There are people that are gearing up to run in pretty contentious primaries.
Yeah.
We've also got folks on the floor giving their farewell speeches.
Yes.
The House members have been doing that for a couple weeks now.
Bart Blackwell gave his today.
Yeah, he did. It was good.
It was a good one. And he lamented, you know, the politics that are outweighing right now in our country.
Representative Max Hyde said the same thing.
Did he? I missed his yesterday.
He gave his yesterday or
was
day
it yesterday?
Before.
Yeah. From Spartanburg.
Mm-hmm.
They're all lamenting these good House members that are not running again.
Right.
I would dare say out of frustration for the lack of ability, the lack of progress in passing good public policy, instead fighting over culture wars.
Right. Right.
That's my view. Those good members who are not coming back are leaving out of frustration and they're delivering the message. Hey, they're not saying it directly, but this is why. Because
uh-huh.
We're tired of this. We're not dealing with real public policy that
right.
affects South Carolinians' daily lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we don't see an end to it. Rather, the politics are just going to get worse. So, we saw that on display again today in the House when the members of the Freedom Caucus got up and essentially did a little mini filibuster mm-hmm. against the South Carolina-Ireland
yep.
Trade Commission bill.
Right.
And Representative Micah Caskey from KC West Columbia, as he enjoys doing, I think, stood up
both
and said,
on the X and
hey,
in person.
Yeah, he just stood up and said, "Hey, you know, these aren't real arguments for good public policy that the Freedom Caucus is making. They're only making these arguments for politics so that they can put on their campaign websites."
Yes,
that's his view of it. So. Judge for yourself if you think that's happening or not. So,
but I think that's kind of is starting to be a theme in these farewell speeches about
yeah.
how I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I've done it for this many years and it's frustrating. And
yeah, Bart Blackwell's an 8-year member of
yeah.
the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
Max has been there just about as long, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
Pretty
it's,
close.
It's interesting to see. And it's also a shame because they were good, middle of the road, you know, willing to work things out, willing to compromise, willing to bring both sides together and talk about it. None of the extremism on either side that just digs down and says, this is how it's going to be, and we're not going to vote for this, or we are going
to
vote for this.
To illustrate the absurdity of some of the politics, Bart gave, he told this story.
Mm-hmm.
And help me if I get it, the details wrong, but it's basically this. When he was elected, first elected in 2016,
mm-hmm.
he won by 32 votes.
Correct.
His opponent called him and conceded and congratulated him and said, best of luck. I hope you do good things. In a subsequent election, I can't remember which one, maybe 2020.
I can't remember either.
Bart said he won by over 1,000 votes. But his opponent, rather mm-hmm. than calling and conceding and congratulating Correct. Him, contested the election results.
Right.
And despite the overwhelming lack of evidence that there was anything untoward that occurred in that election.
Mm-hmm.
The point being, if you're going to contest an election, you would contest the 32 vote loss
right.
rather than the 1,000 vote loss.
Right. But I
but we're living in a bizarro world.
It shows
in some cases.
Yeah. It shows where we're the trend that is in 2024.
Yes. Yes.
In the 2024 elections. I think that is a perfect example of where we are trending. And, you know, I hope that it goes back to I guess. I mean, I don't even know what normal is anymore.
You know, Casey, we always say that and legislators will say this, that they are largely immune. The General Assembly is largely immune from the kinds of nonsense that goes on in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. true for the most part. But unfortunately, just like with Bart Blackwell's story, that kind of nonsense is starting to seep into mm-hmm. our state politics. And
it's a trickle-down effect, sure.
And I hope, listener, that you won't allow that to seep into local politics and local policymaking. Because as you know better than I do, running a city, running a town is not a political issue. It is a matter of good public policy and delivering services to your residents.
We've said this over and over again, but picking up trash is not Republican or Democrat.
No.
It's just picking up trash.
Everybody wants their garbage collected.
Everybody wants their garbage collected, and everybody wants their toilet to flush.
Yes.
Everybody wants clean drinking water if you have a, you know, water system.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to have clean streets. Everybody wants to feel safe. And none of that is a partisan issue.
I would hope not.
I would expect it not to be. All right. A couple of...
Sorry for that rant.
Right.
Editorial rant.
A couple of updates. Well, that's just kind of what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of where we are. It's just a little peek. We talked about this last week just for a second, but the House 3M committee, they have a medical cannabis ad hoc committee. They took testimony again. I think 20 something is what the chair lady said. Several hours worth of testimony and did not take action.
Yeah, they didn't do
on
anything
that bill.
With the
bill. So I'm going to venture a guess and say that medical cannabis is dead again this year.
I'll take that bet.
Okay. Another bill that we have been following, House Bill 3734, that is the municipal election dates bill.
Yeah.
That bill came out of Senate Judiciary on
Tuesday
mm-hmm. amended.
Yes.
And then placed on the calendar in the Senate. It is a House bill, so it's already passed the House, and now it's in the Senate for work. They amended that bill from a subcommittee amendment that eliminated municipal election commissions, correct?
Yes.
To take all that out.
Yes. So municipal election commissions are not affected by the bill anymore. I can't remember what I told you that they did
it's
to
the,
it.
So it's the does not require election machines.
Yes. So part of the original bill was to require cities and towns that conducted their own elections to use the state required voting machines for municipal elections. They removed that requirement from the original bill. They restored municipal election commissions. And then they did something with regard to not, It wasn't specific to city elections. They did something else too, and I can't remember.
Yeah, they did. Let me find it real quick. It eliminates holdover status.
Yes, that's the other important thing. Incumbents. That was very important. That is really a very important change. That was, I don't know if that was in the original bill or not.
That is something that they have wanted to deal with.
But I think they dealt with that in the Senate. So under current law, if I'm an incumbent and I lose my election, or if I am retiring from my seat, but my election is contested, I have to stay in office, theoretically. I have to stay in office until the challenge to that election, to my election for my seat, is adjudicated. And we've seen that happen a number of times over the years where it has taken multiple years for these cases to be adjudicated.
Yeah.
And so that amendment would eliminate the requirement that you hold over in that seat. The seat would just be vacant until the challenge is adjudicated. And it also prioritizes, I believe it prioritizes for the court, the adjudication of the challenge. So it speeds it up and then relieves the incumbent of having to hold over. Of course, I don't know how you do that anyway, from a practical matter. I'm not going to come to city council meetings if I got beat or I don't run again.
Right.
Unless I'm the one that's actually challenging the results. Mm-hmm. If I lost and I challenge it, then yeah, I want that holdover, but that won't be an option anymore if they pass this.
They also add provisions of 406. Senate Bill 406 to the election bill.
I can't
bill.
Remember what that
I
does.
I believe that's early voting.
Yeah, that sounds
is right. That
oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah. When, yes, it allows for an earlier tabulation of early votes. So The way the law reads now, and I may mess this up entirely, but I believe the way the law reads now is that election officials can't start tabulating absentee votes until some late hour the day before an election or the day of the election. I can't remember, but this would allow for them to start the tabulation period earlier so that they can get the results, the true results of the election with the absentee ballots sooner than they can now. So, which is fine. We didn't care about that.
The original language remained in there that gives municipalities the first Tuesday of April or the first Tuesday after the first Monday of November of odd years for elections.
Yes, you would have to choose one of those two election dates. And if you have even year elections right now, the bill would require you to move to that April or November of odd years. Yes.
That is on the calendar, on the Senate calendar.
Right.
That is on the Senate calendar.
Yes. Okay, listener, just for full disclosure, Casey had to quickly leave the recording.
She got called off.
For a family emergency, all is well. Everything's fine. It's not, it's a precautionary measure. So, she's good. Her family's good. Mm. But she is going to tend to them. So, Mr. Producer, Russell Cox is stepping in to continue the discussion.
And this is a first. I have hosted plenty of podcasts, but I have never before done the From the Dome to Your Home podcast.
You've not been the host or interim host, but certainly you've been a part of the broadcast, as our listener knows.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So we just finished talking about which bill were we on, Mr. Producer?
We were on the – I'm looking at Casey's notes.
Down at the bottom.
Okay, yes, the municipal election bill.
Yes,
that was H-3734.
Yeah. So the next bill we'll talk about that is came out of the Senate Judiciary Committee and is on the agenda – is on the calendar in the Senate right now is House Bill 4231. Is that right?
4231.
Yeah, that's the micro distillery bill. That's the bill that would allow – cities, towns, and counties to set a referendum for the Sunday sales of liquor, not liquor by the drink, but liquor stores, distilleries, think Burnt Church Distillery distilling down in Bluffton. They can be open and give tours on Sundays, mm-hmm. but when the tourists want to, when it's time for them to leave and they want to take a bottle of
they can't
their so. Vodka or liquor with them, they can't do it because the distillery is prohibited under current law from doing that. Since
that would
from
be an
it.
Odd trip to the distillery under current conditions.
Yes. No, I agree. I agree. So that is on the Senate calendar. They may get to that this afternoon. Depends on whether or not they get off of the transgender bill. Mm-hmm. And then the next one, what's on the list there, Mr. Producer? Underneath that. Underneath 4231.
Under 4231, yeah. We've got H4563.
Which one is that?
Clarifies the power of special purpose districts.
So that's a bill. There are some special purpose districts across the state that don't have the authority to sell property. And so this bill would make that change. So all of these things are came out of the Senate Judiciary Committee on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. They'll be on the calendar or are already on the calendar in the Senate. So they will they'll take those up presumably next week. And remember, Casey just said a minute ago, there's only three legislative days left. So everybody, as we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, are going to be in a mad scramble to get their bills mm-hmm. moving and try and get that done before sine die at 5 o'clock next Thursday, May the 9th. Couple of things that are in the House on the House floor. That we're paying attention to is the abandoned buildings revitalization tax credit bill. That's Senate Bill 1021. The House had that on their calendar today, Thursday, and they adjourned debate on that bill, which just holds it in place on the calendar. And they'll be able to take that up when they come back next week, starting on Tuesday.
And that is the one that extends the sunset
Correct.
Of the tax credit.
That's exactly right. Extends the sunset for 10 years and raises the amount of the credit from $500,000 to $700,000. So,
Scott, how many times has that one had the sunset extended on it? In the past, it's been for shorter periods of time.
Yeah, usually it gets extended 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years max. Mm-hmm. But the General Assembly, to their credit, has really done a good job in accepting that 10-year sunset suggestion mm-hmm. that we and the development community have made. So traditionally, that the obstacle to longer sunsets were the result of one senator who's no longer with us in the Senate. And since his departure, then that has become, in my view, a little bit easier to accomplish. The other thing that we want to talk, the last bill we'll talk about that's on the House calendar is Senate Bill 1017. This is the bill that changes the affordable property tax exemption, affordable housing property tax exemption, and some of the rules around that. That bill was put onto the contested calendar in the House today, and so it will be on the contested calendar next week when they come back on Tuesday and move forward with the House calendar. Talking about next week, Representative Tommy Pope, who is the Speaker pro tem, who's been playing the Speaker of the House this week because Speaker Merle Smith from Sumter has had laryngitis, and so he has not been presiding over the House unless he had to. There was a challenge yesterday to one of the rulings that Representative Pope made, and so that forced Speaker Smith to the lectern to adjudicate and rule on that challenge to Tommy Pope's ruling. So, but what Tommy said today, Representative Pope said today, is that they are going to come back next week, mm-hmm. and the leadership's intent is to touch every bill on the calendar so that members get an opportunity who want those bills or not to take some action. So the calendar is going to be pretty long for the House. We will expect them to work probably longer days than mm-hmm. they have the last few weeks so that they can get to each of those bills.
When I saw that announcement, I thought, is it ambitious or is it doable to touch every single bill?
Well, it's doable, Mr. Producer, in the fact that they could get to it mm-hmm. if debate is limited. However, and he said, Representative Pope said, they are going to be more strict than they usually are with the time period. Mm-hmm. So the House, when the House gets on the calendar, everything is timed, essentially, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. There's specific amount of time for this section of the calendar, this section of the calendar. There's specific amount of time for people to speak on bills, on amendments. And so, you know, earlier in the session, that's not. I mean, they enforce those rules, but they'll give you some leeway on either end of the clock there. Mm-hmm. But because of the time crunch they'll have next week and the number of bills that they want to get to, they're going to be more strict about enforcing those time limits. So theoretically, yes, they could touch all of the bills. But if multiple representatives who don't want a piece of legislation to go through, if they essentially get up and all take their 20 minutes each to debate a bill, then it could extend debate and push the calendar further down the week. So we'll just have to see what happens. I think it's doable, but at the same time, it's also ambitious that they that they will touch every bill. So we'll see. We'll see.
Now, I am no Casey Fields, although I am presently occupying her chair. It is the sine die resolution has a provision for bills to continue beyond sine die.
Yeah, though any bills that are assigned to a conference committee before 5 o'clock next Thursday, then those conference committees can take those bills up and report them back to their respective chambers when they returned, because remember, they're coming back for 3 days in June to take up conference reports, any vetoes the governor may have issued, and they'll also have to take up the conference report on the state budget. So we know the state budget will go into a conference committee, but any other bills that are assigned to a conference committee will stay alive until they don't meet again. Now, they could theoretically meet again before the end of the calendar year, but once they get to this, once they get past the primaries and they come back for this budget session, if you will, in June, it's unlikely that they will meet again, but they could. And in that case, if they don't take care of conference reports in this June session, then they could theoretically take them up later on. But we'll just have to see. We'll see.
But we will know what bills did not move forward and are therefore dead for the 2 year session.
We will know at 5 o'clock in a week. Yes.
On May the 9th.
That's correct.
All right, so this is exciting. I have written any number of municipal trivia questions.
You've written them all, haven't you?
I have written a great deal of them. We get both from our staff and from our listeners have suggested questions over time.
Okay.
And you come up with the wildest municipal trivia questions just to keep the list going.
Sure.
But I've not pitched one before. I have...
Well, I'm looking forward to this. This is very exciting, folks. This is a first on the Home to Your Home podcast.
So... Casey has given you the question in the past, what municipalities in South Carolina are named for a beach?
Yes.
Very similar question.
Yeah.
How many municipalities in South Carolina are named for an island?
An island. Okay. Well, does Isle of Palms count?
Isle of Palms does. It is Isle.
It's not Island of Palms.
It is the IOP.
IOP. Pawleys Island.
Pawleys Island.
Town of Pawleys Island.
The Hammock Coast.
Yes. Edisto Beach is just Edisto Beach. It's not Edisto Beach and Island.
Is it on Wadmalaw Island or Edisto? I'm not sure.
And no, it's on Edisto. It's on Edisto.
Okay, there's an island. Okay, there's an island Edisto.
Yeah, but it's not named Edisto Island.
Yeah.
It's not the town of Edisto Island. It's
so that
the
one would have been
Edisto
our list
Beach.
Of ones named for beaches.
Yeah, that's true. Have we done that list?
Yes.
Oh, we have. Yes. Okay. Myrtle Beach, Edisto Beach.
All the beaches.
Let's see. Is it town of Kiowa Island?
Kiowa, yes. And?
Sullivan's Island is one.
Sullivan's Island on the other side of the harbor.
And, of course, is it town of Seabrook Island? Yes, town of Seabrook Island. Yeah.
Seabrook Island.
Yes. Is that all of them?
There are a couple more.
Really?
There's a substantial one further down the coast. Well, there's another one right there in the Charleston area.
James Island.
James Island, yep. Yes. And if you were to head on down the coast, almost to Georgia.
Oh, Hilton Head Island.
Town of Hilton Head Island.
HHI, yeah.
HHI.
Wow.
And that is the full list of them. There are seven of them.
Well, that's all the islands. Right? That's all the islands.
Oh, there's
except for Edisto. I mean, Edisto Beach is an island, but it's not the town is not named Edisto Island. Well, Edisto Beach Island.
There's other islands in South Carolina
but they don't have towns on them.
Yes. Right? There's even the tiny islands like the one in Lake Murray where the birds roost. I can't remember the name
it's
of it.
Bomb Island.
Spence
Islands is out there. Bomb Island's out there. Yeah.
So that would be a example of an island that is inhabited by humans, but definitely doesn't have a municipality.
No, it does not. It does not. Well, that wasn't so hard.
Yeah, that was.
I made that a lot more difficult than it probably is.
I was just surprised that that Hilton. Well, Hilton Head is the one that's away from the others.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I've probably told you this story, but years ago when I was a field services manager for the municipal association, we would play a game, or my wife would engage in a game with my friends, especially if we're at the beach. Like, you know, we're all just sitting around hanging out. And she would challenge our friends to name a city or a town in South Carolina and then ask me to name the mayor and or city manager or administrator if there was one. And our friends were always amazed at my ability to do that. I can't do that now because I don't know them all anymore, but not like I did back then. So it was a lot of fun.
Did you just do the then current mayor, or did you do that mayor and like the three mayors before that mayor?
Well, sometimes I could do that. Yeah. But not anymore. So.
Because some mayors are just extra memorable.
Indeed they are.
Indeed they are. Talk about Captain Roy, for example.
Yes, absolutely. Miss old Captain Roy. Miss the mayor. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. We will be back here next week. Read the From the Dome to Your Home that you'll receive, you should have received today in your email inbox. Pay attention to what's going on in the House and the Senate next week. It's going to be wild and crazy. It's down to the wire. Folks will be desperate. We've talked about it. We, as your legislative staff, will remain ever vigilant stop things that are not good for cities and towns, and at the same time trying to advocate things that are good for cities and towns. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Casey always says talk to you next week. I can't say it, but yes, we, plural, will talk to you next week.
Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.